Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You now because we know that we are dependent upon You even in this, that we would be given eyes to see and ears to hear of the depths of our sin and the riches of our salvation. Help us to see our Savior, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. We'll begin reading at verse 1 and continue through verse 25. Genesis chapter 19. If you have a Bible from the back, it's found on page 21. Page 21, Genesis chapter 19. Hear now the word of our God from Genesis chapter 19. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn in to your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet, then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind them, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, that you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, and who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But to his sons-in-law he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown to me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you have arrived there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 19 in Genesis is a hard-hitting chapter. And there is a lot in here, and so we're going to have to go through this chapter in a few weeks, a few times. It's going to take us multiple sermons. It is necessary and good for us to pay close attention to this chapter, especially because of the time that we live in. The God that is worshipped by many in North America more broadly is not the God of the Bible. When hell is brought up, or that God hates sin and will punish those who do not repent, what is the common response that we hear, even from some who claim to be Christians? Well, that's not my God. My God is a God of love. What essentially they're saying is that I've made up my own God in my own head, and that I choose to worship that God of my imagination, not the God of the Bible, not the one true God. If you are confronted with the God of the Bible as he is, and you say, that is not my God, then you have made an idol. God gives grace for ignorance, which we all have. We are not saved because we have a perfect knowledge of God. But complete rejection of who he is as revealed in the scriptures is a rejection of him completely. Sin, evil, wickedness cannot be tolerated in the presence of God, because the God of the Bible is a holy God. And he is a just God. If God is perfect, he must be just. He must hold the standard of justice. And when we think of sin, children, what's sin? What is sin? Three-letter word, S-I-N. What does sin mean? Sin is anything that is against the law of God. Anything that is disobedient to God. And any time we do something in disobedience, anything against the law of God, it is in fact an act of hatred and rebellion against God. Not only that, but sin is also an act of hatred and destruction against ourselves and those around us. It's why Jesus summarizes the law of God as we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as well as we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. The two go together. And when we think about the destruction of our sin, we have to look and see it from God's perspective. Just how evil sin is. When we sin, all sin is a personal attack against him. And as the great church theologian Anselm of Canterbury taught, imagine you are a servant to a king here on earth, and you did something that was hurtful to that king. You did something that dishonored that king. What would be the only just thing that could happen? You would have to repay the honor of that king. You would have to restore honor to him that you had made him lose. Now as we think about God, Anselm turns our attention to the Lord of heaven and earth, who does not have limited honor and glory, but has infinite honor and glory, and we have offended it. What must it take to repay infinite honor? Infinite honor, to which not a single one of us can ever hope to repay. And so who is the only one that can save us? The one who is himself also infinite. The Lord Jesus Christ. Only he can restore us. But not only this, but now think of the sins that we can commit against people. Is there any way that we can truly repay someone whom we have sinned against? I'll start with the most atrocious examples and then go down to the thoughts of our hearts to see just how sinful our sin is. If you murder someone, can you or an earthly judge ever execute perfect justice? Can there be perfect justice done? No. Why not? Because the only just thing that could happen in that circumstance is that the person that you murdered be raised from the dead and you killed. That's the only just thing that could happen. Not to mention, you think about the injustice that you've done to the family of the person that you murdered. How can you right any of those wrongs or bring any substantial healing? The only one that can execute perfect justice and will do that is God. If you lose your temper at someone, or you slander someone, is there any way that you can completely make up what you have done to others who witnessed you lose your temper or been on the receiving end of your slander? No. There's nothing you can do to make it perfectly right. There's nothing you can do to bring about perfect justice in that situation. Those moments are past and gone, and no matter what you do, the negative impact that you have had has far-reaching consequences to all involved. To causing them to sin, and most of all, not receiving the love that you are supposed to give to them. And then if we even go to our thoughts. Suppose you had a hateful thought towards someone. And we might defend ourselves and say, but words are like toothpaste. They don't go back in the tube. And I never said them, so they didn't go out. That would be our defense, wouldn't it be? But in that moment where you went beyond being tempted to hate them, and you actually did hate them with your thoughts, you took precious time that God gave you, and instead of loving them, you poisoned your own heart to hate them. And you cannot redeem that time in yourself. You cannot make it right. Now I say all of this Because we have to keep going deeper, brothers and sisters. We have to keep looking deeper into our depravity if we want to see the brightness of our Savior. Because if we trust in ourselves, we know that we are hopeless. We have done so much damage in our lives. We have sinned so egregiously against God and others that we don't even know the furthest extent of it. And yet, who is our hope? Children, who is our hope? It is always and ever will be Jesus. Because He can bring perfect justice to bear, and He can bring perfect and beautiful healing even to our sin. He can right all the wrongs. For the grace of God in Christ Jesus is able to overcome all sin and all destruction. Children, if you lie to your parents, how does Jesus make it right? How does Jesus bring healing into that situation? Well, through the discipline of your parents, you get a general sense, and you learn more of the destruction that lying causes. But you and your parents are reminded of the forgiveness that is given to you in Jesus because He paid the penalty for that sin, for that lie, on the cross. And the blessing of all of us is that Jesus is Himself the truth. And He has given us Himself. And so there can be perfect justice done and blessed healing to all. But it is only in Christ. This is a long introduction, I know. But when we look at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, we have to understand that this is exactly where the depravity of humanity leads. This is the same wickedness that dwells in our hearts. We might throw back our hands and say, "Never me. I would never do something like this." But as Robert Murray McShane once rightly said, the seed of every sin dwells within my heart. Looking now at our text, the two angels come to Sodom in order to save Lot and his family from the wrath to come. Lot has them stay with him and treats them like royalty. But then the men of the city, young and old, from every part of the city come to gang rape these angels. This is the wickedness of these cities. And maybe we're surprised by this. Maybe we would think there's no way that that could happen now. Just look around. Look at the world around you. Evil like this exists today. What is the only thing that could be done to a people and a society like this? Like ours. The wrath of God being poured out upon them. That is what happens on earth, and that is what will happen to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah for all eternity. The hot wrath of God against sin. And of course, not all sin is punished with the same severity, but all sin is worthy of eternal death. And to get an idea of how much God abhorred the wickedness of these cities, the reason that the Dead Sea is what it is because of this event. The biblical and archaeological evidence shows us that before this event, the whole area around the Dead Sea was lush, rich pasture land, comparable to the Nile River Valley in Egypt and the Tigris and Euphrates River valleys in Mesopotamia. It was that green, it was that lush, it was that prosperous. And yet ever since this moment, it has been a desert wasteland. After this event, the area on the east side of the Dead Sea, where Sodom and Gomorrah were turned to a wasteland, and the Dead Sea was turned salty, which it remains to this day. The Dead Sea is up to 10 times saltier than the ocean. It stands as a stark reminder throughout all of history that judgment is coming, that there is hell to pay for sin. And while our outward actions don't rise to the level of murder or sodomy, the reality is there. All sin is worthy of death, eternal death, outside of the gracious and loving presence of God and in the presence of His wrath. This is what we deserve. Because in our sin we seek to destroy. So what is the only just thing that could be done? Destruction upon us. This is what we have done on this earth. That is what it merits. Yet we are not without hope. We have a sure hope. Because we know that Jesus went to the cross to suffer under the eternal wrath of God for our sakes. Think of Jesus there on that cross, enduring an eternity's worth of fire and brimstone from heaven in His soul. He did that so that we wouldn't have to. He saved us from the wrath to come. The just wrath of God that we deserve, He bore it all. He bore it all so that we would not receive what we deserve, but we receive what He deserves. Only divine blessing and grace and love. What more can we say to a truth like that? Then, oh, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. And so in the ultimate things, in terms of our status before God, we never have to fear or worry because we know we are already secure. We are already at peace with God. We are already adopted as children of God. Not only this, but we know that even as we go through life, there is not a single situation that we have to fear, for we know that our God is able to deliver us out of any situation. Out of any situation. When we think of the ultimate things, of our status before God, we look at those things. We see so readily in this passage and when we look at the cross that our God is able to save. That our God is able to have justice be done and us completely delivered from it. Because Jesus saved us from it. But not only that, it gets even better. Because we know that every single moment of every single day, we know there is nothing that Jesus cannot heal, that Jesus cannot repair, that there is no amount of suffering or tribulation that we may go through that the Lord Jesus cannot bring us through. How do we know this? Well, the Apostle Peter makes this very point in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, where we read there, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." If the Lord knows how to save Noah, if the Lord knows how to save Lot, He knows how to save us out of any circumstance, out of any temptation, out of any trial. Brothers and sisters, everything from our eternal destiny to the day, to this day and every day henceforth, we go forth in confidence knowing that Christ has delivered us and will deliver us from everything. He has already done the hardest thing. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. And He will continue to deliver us from various trials and temptations in this life by His almighty power. This is the blessed hope, the gospel truth that we get to live in the light of every single day of our lives. Do we understand the gravity of our sin? Not fully, but maybe a little better. Do we understand the grace, the depth of grace that is given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ? We are completely helpless, brothers and sisters, on our own. Completely. And yet we never have to despair. Not for a moment. Because we have the greatest helper. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to us
with a perfect salvation, with healing in his wings, to make all things new and do all things well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we cannot fully grasp the love that you have loved us with, and the love that you do love us with, and the love that you will love us with for all eternity. We can't grasp it. It's too deep, it's too high, it's too wide for us to understand. But we pray, Lord, that you would help us day by day to see a little farther of just how much you love us and how beautiful and powerful the grace is that you have given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We worship and adore you as we think of your willingness to go to the cross, to endure what we deserve, so that we may receive what you deserve. It is the greatest exchange for us that you took all of our sin and we received all of your righteousness. Heavenly Father, help us to see the glories of your grace. Help us never to fail to appreciate your goodness, your graciousness, and your love toward us. Keep the Lord Jesus Christ ever before our eyes. Help us to see you, the God who is love, who is grace, who is mercy, who is compassion, and who is justice. Help us to see you. We want to see you more. And we look forward to that day when we shall see you face to face in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.